I gotta leave. I gotta leave in an hour.
I know. Shh.
We're starting.
What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frotcast coming at you not live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. We're back for the first time in 3 weeks. I hope you guys missed us. I got a lot of missed messages like you missed us, but we're back. I'm back from my vision quest. We got a great show. Joseph Clitico is going to come on later. Well, we were going to talk about some Project Greenlight. I got a couple campaign songs from Ben Carson that are pretty great. But first, gotta introduce my co-hosts. The irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb, is here.
I am back!
I love it when he's here.
Yeah. I am so excited to be back. I've been away for so long.
Really takes the pressure off the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
True.
To try and be funny.
I got a bunch of sex stuff to talk about.
Oh, good.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready for some throwback to what I'm talking about? Eating bit. Remember?
Gross.
Oh, I miss everything about this podcast.
Peace.
Yeah.
That's a drop. That's not him live. Just did that.
Peace.
Yeah. And we got the hairiest man in podcasting, Mr. Brett.
Fun fact, a little trivia for the listeners. I'm a disgusting swamp creature.
Yeah, you really let your
It's weird because up top, like if I cover the bottom half of your face with my hand, you look like a 1920s stockbroker because you got that the real straight hair that I always wished I had growing up.
You look like you're going to put a pistol in your mouth during the Depression.
And then from the and then if I take the hand away,
you
got the scraggly beard.
Yeah.
Like you've been smoking opium for a few days. Yeah, you look like someone who just got pulled out of an opium den.
The point is you look like you're 100 years old.
You all three of you have told me that separately.
Yeah.
At different times. Brendan said it looks like my wife just died of the consumption.
Prospector.
Yeah.
You actually do look like from the old West.
Yeah.
Like, sad like you're a gunslinger, but you're gonna get shot. You're not winning that
the loser
battle.
Cowboy. I'm the loser cowboy.
Yeah.
No, you look like you're gonna have a gunfight with the heavy, but you pussed out and you went to go live in a cave.
Yeah.
Just so people know what he looks like.
And then someone pulled you out and they're like, Brett, you gotta fight him. You're like, I don't do that anymore.
Find me in the third act.
Yeah, exactly.
Living in a cave.
All right, so his hair is
I was a bad cowboy. I couldn't do the cowboy stuff. And so I live in a cave.
Your hair is long and stringy.
To be fair, it's long and thick.
Your beard is big and bushy.
That part.
Your
is true.
Fingernails are way too long. You look and you're thin.
He's got those crow-like fingers.
You look like Howard Hughes when he lost his mind. Like you got Kleenex boxes on your feet. You're pissing in jars. You got burns all over the back of your body, and you just keep screaming, "Come in with the milk! Come in with the milk! Come in with the milk! Come in with the milk!" Way the future.
I hid a sandwich in the ficus so the government couldn't find it.
Yeah. Yeah, you look like you want to put us all in the spruce goose.
It's a wooden airplane. It's a brilliant idea.
And it will fly, God damn it! Or I will leave this country and never come back. That's my favorite. I've talked. I must have talked about how that's my favorite, one of my favorite movies, right?
Probably.
I must have talked about that. Yeah.
You always pick the weirdest. That's probably your favorite Scorsese movie, isn't it?
One of my favorite Scorsese movies.
Yeah. Okay.
The other one is what do you call it?
Not Shutter Island.
Yeah, Shutter Island.
Bring out the dead.
What's the most?
Bringing out the dead. That was.
I never actually saw that.
I did. It was weird.
Yeah. I think my least favorite's Casino.
I love Casino.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. But it's one of those movies that just kind of went on and on and on.
So, yeah, that's weird. It's weird. One of those ones where I probably saw it the first time and I was like, man, this is long. Like if you're sitting through it all in the theater. But it's also one of those ones, if it's on HBO, I will stop and watch it from wherever it's at.
Don't get me wrong.
No matter what.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
But it's probably my least favorite Scorsese movie. Like it's a good movie, but it's also like I'd watch Raging Bull or... what's the other one? Goodfellas, or Departed,
Automatic Watch,
or what's
Gangs?
Gangs of New York. Yeah, these are all. Those are all like I'd much rather watch this. I guess Shutter Island is probably my least favorite Scorsese movie.
I fucking love Gangs of New York, and I know why people don't like it, but I don't care. Like, I just want to watch. Yeah. Like, I don't care about the plot because I just want to watch those guys walk around in their patterned pants
and their big old hats, giant hats.
It's like I just have such a massive hard on for that.
Daniel Day-Lewis is wearing a hat.
It's like I don't care what he does. I'll just watch him do anything.
Bill the Butcher.
He could have just been cutting meat that whole movie. I would have
watched
shit.
That. Yeah. I would have watched that movie. Just it's a surly butcher actually butchering.
This is a kill. This is a kill. This is a wound. That's what I say.
That was really good.
What I'm doing.
We should shoot that movie. A surly butcher actually butchering the movie.
Stop. Could you stop killing it? Just cut me my fucking shank.
I was really hoping to use that rib for the dinner party.
I guess
this we'll
is
make
a kill. All
right, I guess we're making stew.
This is a wound.
I mean, the bones. You really chip the bone there on that one. Okay, I mean, just cut off whatever piece.
This is a kill.
Okay, all right.
Dead rabbit.
Here's the thing. I just wanted to cut.
I run the 5 points.
I'm having my wife's parents over. I was trying to impress them.
N-word. He says the N-word a lot.
A jig doing a jig.
Yeah. Yeah, he really goes for it. That movie.
That accent is like perfect.
It is perfect. Yeah. And it was the character was so strong that I remember watching the first few minutes of
Amsterdam.
Of what's his name?
He's named after this island.
Well, there will be blood, and as soon as he starts talking, I'm like, ah, shit, he's doing the fucking Butcher Bill accent, but then after...
Yeah, he was like, oh, God, he's doing the Butcher the Bill accent.
Well, I was kind of like, oh, man, I thought he didn't, like, repeat character, but then he didn't at all, and that's a completely different character, and that is probably my favorite movie.
It's...
There Will Be Blood?
Top
it's
three.
It's pretty great.
I think it's my favorite. I think I because that guy...
There was that was the year that... Oh country, no country for oh country.
Yeah,
oh country for where
oh
art
country,
thou?
Oh country, where art thou? Yeah.
Oh country, where art thou, man?
It won.
Those two came out the same year, and it was really hard to decide which one I like better because they're both fucking amazing.
I just remember it being.
I think I like There Will Be Blood better though.
I remember No Country for Old Men being like the clear winner in my head when I first saw it. I was like, yeah, There Will Be Blood's good, but dude, that No Country. And then I saw them again, both. And now I've seen There Will Be Blood like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And
Brett and I saw that together. And when fucking Daniel Day-Lewis is killing him with the pool.
I am the third revelation. Yeah.
We were fucking squealing. Like we were like holding each other like two Japanese schoolgirls in that scene. And everybody's like, what's going on? And we're like, oh, we're just so happy.
Yeah. We're eating each other's vomit. Yeah. It's what we like. Now Cthulhu's gonna fuck my taint. Japanese schoolgirls are into weird things.
I see where you went with that. It was a choice.
I do wonder. I do wonder if, like, you know how they say like porn culture, right? When they say like
who does,
says that?
My dad?
People say that.
Vince, you're not smoking porn culture, are you?
Shut up, Dad.
No, porn culture, like the way our consumption of porn is men. Changes the way we view women and the way we have sex. That's what they say, which I don't really subscribe to that belief. I don't think it's true.
Do you think that's why I come too fast?
Yeah, that's why you come too fast. It's because you're just thinking of porn.
I knew it was something.
Porn culture did that to you. Porn culture has betrayed you.
I think it's why I come too slow. Because like in the middle of it, I'm like, can we change people? Like I don't like this tab anymore. That's not nice. No, that's not nice.
Clicking the small of her back.
Yeah, oh, man. No, it's just like people say that the like porn culture changes, you know, men's perception of women, which I don't fully believe.
I've sat through a lot of porn, and I don't really think it's changed.
Where are you going with this?
My point is that if that's the case, does it work the same for women? And are there schoolgirls in Japan who are like, if I don't fuck a squid, I'm gonna lose my shit. Like, is there a squid fetish for the women who? Because I mean, I assume that there's not a lot of women in Japan who are watching hentai or like tentacle porn. So just the way there's, you know, the numbers are also skewed here in America, where we watch men watch most porn, and there's some porn for women, but you know, it's majority men. So yeah, I wonder if there's any effect on women who watch a lot of porn, whether or not they feel like it's changing.
Why do you do that?
Because he was rambling. I was helping.
I know, but I have to go through and take that out now.
I'm asking a serious question.
All right, he's rambling. We're moving on.
All right.
We got a lot of hashtag content.
You're right.
To get
there's too much content, not enough time for porn.
Okay. We did get an email that I thought was relevant to what we were talking about at the beginning. I got really high and decided to listen to Frotcast 36 and realized Brett. He violently values his privacy and hates public opinion. So what is the story about how you somehow convinced him to do the Frotcast? If someone in Brett's life circle asked him today to do a podcast, he would never be convinced to join. So how was past Brett convinced in the early days of Frotcastery to do this Frotcast?
I don't know why I'm still here and consistently either. Like, there's something wrong with me. I think I'm here because I'm sick.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he craves the human contact, and this is one of the forms that you get it.
Yeah.
You like you spend all day looking at the numbers and the matrix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then occasionally you're like, I need to get back to Zion for a little R&R.
Yeah.
And this is your Zion.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we have the party.
Yeah. And you're like, we might as well broadcast your Zion, because what else, what other proof will there be that you ever actually lived?
Oh no, I that makes me sad, but not because it's ultimately futile, but someone's going to find this and this will be me.
Oh yeah, this is you.
This person.
Yeah.
100 million years ago there were humans.
They're gonna find the sad cowboy, and that's all that's left.
There was one dark lord of podcasting named Brett something. He valued his privacy.
We don't know much about the 21st century.
We do know that he loved animals and using them in analogies. They fit so perfectly, like a little vest for your heart, as he once said.
Made out of their bones.
Made out of animal bones.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is, if this were the record, I realized this actually about, someone was telling me recently about how much porn I watched. Like, they were like telling you, like,
always
I know,
brings it back to porn.
No, I'm sorry, but this is the problem.
Okay,
they said, someone was like, I know you watch a lot of porn. I was like, you don't know that at all. What are you talking about? How do you know that? And they were like, I can tell, or I know. And I realized, I was like, well, no, the only way you would know that is if you listen to the Frotcast, where it's pretty much exclusively what I talk about. But outside of the Frotcast, I don't really talk about porn. And yeah.
When I used to know him before the Frotcast, he only brought it up like once or twice every 5 minutes.
You bring it out of me, man. There's something about you. I think it's your body type. It's something about you.
I'm too mesomorphic. I just make you want to talk about porn.
You look like you smash a lot of poon and want to talk about it. So let's talk about smashing poony. Let's talk about going deep spoony in that tight poony.
Deep spoony in that tight poony should be the name of a porn. Should be.
I hate to bring it back there, but if the only record of my existence is the stand-up that I do and this podcast.
It's like, well, he fucked fish.
Yeah.
He likes it when women drown in sand.
Yeah. He got that big fake butt in the shelf.
Yeah, and he loves to eat the butt.
He's got a rubber butt in his closet.
I just thank God that my parents don't know about podcasting, because they'd be like, Matt,
I know,
you've got some real problems.
I think my mom listened to it one time. She's like, we didn't know what you guys were talking about. And I was like, yeah, that's the proper reaction.
Yeah,
I think.
It's fun. It's fun when family friends like listen in and then are just so repulsed or confused that they quit. It's like we've it's like a naked singularity. Like, you've got the gravity well. You can't ever see it because we're too boring and confusing for them. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly how we need to be to keep them out of here. Right. So they don't learn about our weird sex stuff.
Yeah.
So we got two different Ben Carson for President. Mm-hmm. Songs this week
that he released himself.
This one is bencarson.com/song, so you know he's involved in it.
I love Ben Carson, and I'm so scared for America.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, that
the pyramid thing. What? Why would you put that forward?
Or he thinks that the pyramid was built by Joseph as a granary.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That
but is like, the why, Egyptian pyramids.
I didn't know
you.
That.
Yeah. Why even bring that up? Like, wait, what possible context could you have for busting that one out?
They're like, what do you think about how are we going to fix healthcare? Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
When did he bring this up?
Joseph built the pyramids as a granary.
He's broken in the mind.
He really is. He thinks that the Marine Todd meme is a real thing. Like yeah. he, wow. Someone asked him about like no, something about funding
it was
colleges.
It was his proposal. So you have like a watch group where students can write in and say that colleges are doing anti-Christian stuff.
I'll read the quote. Like, I have the quote here.
It's spectacular.
As soon as it loads.
Yeah.
But he's the front runner too. It's not like a fun sideshow. This is the main act. This is the circus.
He's not the front. I thought the front runner was Trump.
No, he's edged out Trump in a bunch of places.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, I mean, neither of them could possibly
good for
be
him,
the candidate,
though.
Could they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan. But Reagan was way more camera ready than either of these
wait,
jackasses.
Wait, Reagan? Yeah, yeah, no, Reagan made total sense. Reagan was
okay, here's the
a
quote.
Politician.
Dr. Ben Carson. This is not just spouting off. I've thought about this. The way that works is you invite the students at the universities to send in their complaints, and then you investigate. For instance, there was a university. I'm sure you've heard of the situation where, you know, the professor told everybody, quote, take out a piece of paper and write the name of Jesus on it, put it on the floor and stomp on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And one student refused to do that and was disciplined severely.
Uh-huh.
You know, he subsequently was able to be reinstated. And the interviewer's like, we're not violating the First Amendment. How is what you're advocating a violation of the First Amendment? It's not a violation of the First Amendment because all I'm saying is taxpayer funding should not be used for propaganda. It shouldn't be. And his evidence is the Marine Todd meme.
Yeah, that's so he actually thought
yeah.
that was a real thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh man, good for him. I kind of feel like there's something about his innocence that's almost like I don't want it to be destroyed. Like I want him to continue thinking.
You don't want him to tell him that that's a meme and not a real thing that happened.
Yeah, and I don't want to tell him that no, prisons don't make gay people. But like if you want to believe these
no,
wonderful
Planned Parenthood is selling fetuses
uh-huh.
to monsters.
Right.
To eat them. And yeah. I don't like monsters.
Yeah.
I leave the light on because I hate monsters and I don't think that we should sell
I think
them
we all know that there's
parts.
Real monsters in the world. And I personally think that Jesus Christ like, should be your Lord and Savior.
There's just enough whimsy to his nutso that uh-huh. it's like kind of endearing where he's like, look, everyone should own firearms, especially mermaids.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. There's he's pretty like, whimsical. Yeah,
fire
in
him
his
into the
insanity.
Air,
yeah.
fire him through walls, just mm-hmm. like, you know, have but, fun with your little fishtails.
Well, if we're truly gonna try to fight the undead, the first thing you need to realize is go for the brain. You know? And she as a brain surgeon, I would know best about this.
Isn't he kind of a shitty reboot of Herman Cain?
Dude, Herman Cain does not like he's like Herman Cain without like the oomph, without the performance
yeah,
angle.
Without
like,
the stagecraft.
Without the stagecraft. He's like all he's a great writer. Right. He's a that's what I would say. Fantastic writer. Mm-hmm. I just he should write for another candidate,
yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
he just doesn't have it, you know. Yeah.
Here's his song though. He's got good songs.
Mm-hmm. Slash song.
Oh. Oh wow.
BenCarson.com/song.
They say life keeps changing every day.
So he's not singing. Right?
No,
thank you.
Nothing stays the same. No one's to blame. Some new progressive vision tries to say it's just a game everybody plays. Let the old rules fade away. You're all strong enough to bear the blows.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, just don't let it show. But this is America. This is the land of the free. This is America.
Oh.
It means everything to me. Don't water down my way of life. In the name of liberty.
Prisons are homo factories.
Can you turn this into Uptown Girl?
Oh, it's been... I don't know the song that one.
This is America. Ben Carson for me.
So it's really hard.
This is an uptown girl. She's living in America world. All them prisons are homo factories.
So he's also got an ad that has rap.
Oh, does he rap in it?
Please. I don't think he rapped. A new 60-second radio ad by Ben Carson's campaign will begin airing Friday in 8 markets, including Atlanta, Detroit, and Miami. The Carson campaign is putting $150,000 behind the ad titled Freedom, which takes the form of a rap song. And is aimed at African-American voters.
Ooh, rap musicians.
Oh, man. Oh, fuck.
Hold on. I got to play this. I got to play the song.
I like the rap pianists and the rap violinists.
Rap pianists.
I love that he doesn't know that, like, the black community has a pretty good shildar. You know what I mean? Like, they can suss out, like, there's no way that, unless they got Kanye to do a beat, and then maybe we'd all be like, dude, if Kanye's for it,
yeah,
I might vote for Ben Carson if Kanye said it was cool. Like, but, like, he's oh, good. Because I do think he can convince people through a country song, like, oh, yeah, this is my guy. This is my guy. I think rednecks would agree.
Rednecks, I don't know if they have no shildar or if they just love being shilled at.
Yeah, I think they're super into shilling out.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's the t-shirt canon of the American voting system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like if you can put on a cowboy hat and pretend to like them, like that's what they like.
I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe they also are looking for, like...
Where did it go?
Genuine...
Sorry, his rap song froze my computer.
Yeah, that's the thing about rap. It's just very destructive. I hear rap songs all have a virus on them. That's what I heard. They tell you to kill the whites.
Oh.
They can put viruses on your computer. You ever have your parents tell you they have a virus and it's just they're bad at computers? That happened to me recently. Anyways. Oh, at some point, this song's gonna play.
I'm sorry about this.
Oh.
Inspire.
Yeah.
Vote.
Revive.
Vote.
Ben Carson 2016.
Ooh.
And support Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians. But because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now.
Yeah.
Every one of us must fight for it because we're fighting for our children and the next generation.
Yo, let's freestyle over this.
Inspire.
Yeah. Inspire. Ben Carson, 2016. He's pretty cool. He's also pretty mean. Now he's doing it.
Ben Carson, a matter of fact, go out and vote.
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
Start from the beginning. No, don't really.
Okay.
Unless you guys are going to freestyle.
I'm not good at freestyling.
I'm really good at freestyling, is the thing.
Are you?
I can just freestyle all day. I mean, the rhymes aren't great, but I'm doing it off top.
If we want to get America back on track, we got to vote Ben Carson, as a matter of fact, the rap concludes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just stoked they didn't start with, his name is Ben Carson and he's here to say.
Oh, that would have made it so much better.
I mean, I think at that point, I would be like, you didn't even try. Like this one, there's some effort into it. They kind of...
Got the Jethro Tull thing going with a little...
You got a little bit of flute in there. And you've got clips of him talking about how great America is. I don't know. You know, Ben Carson, it's weird.
It's weird to say the pyramids are full of grain.
No,
it's a weird thing to do, even if it were right.
It's weird to be both proficient at science, or not science so much as like medicine, and also just believe in magic. Mm-hmm. Like that to me is always...
Yeah, it is
like
a weird combo.
That is a weird, weird combo. And it's kind of makes him fascinating.
Right. I'm just a man who's gone through 12 years of medical school and also believe fairies cause menstruation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You're like, you really just studied that one part, didn't you?
Right, could you elaborate?
Yeah.
Does he ever elaborate? That's the thing. Like, I want to. Oh, like, yes. Why did he go on to like the First Amendment thing? And he's like, describe the Jesus paper incident.
No, dude,
go further into that.
Whenever he elaborates, when the gold comes out.
Yeah. Only thing interviewers should say to him is, "Go on."
Go on. Yeah. Exactly. It just let him talk, man.
I'm on the same, similar. Note, so I discovered this guy. I didn't realize he existed before. This guy, Todd Starnes, mm-hmm. who is a Fox News reporter.
Oh, yeah, he's the piss boy.
He's Mama's piss boy, Mama's, yeah.
What?
Mama's little piss boy. I guess that weird Twitter, like, made up, like, they took a screen cap of him from Fox News.
It's the only web search available now. If you type in Todd Starnes, the autocomplete is, says drinking pee is good, comma, Mama's good boy.
That's great.
All the photoshops are of him with a smaller head and a very big NRA cap. Yeah.
That's great.
And it's like the Chiron is just piss loving boy. Drinking pee is good, says Mama's good boy. So I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't realize he was a meme. I was just reading this like really bad Fox News article. about some heroic high school football coach who was bravely praying in a public school mm-hmm. and fighting the system. And it was written by this guy, and it was like the they have the little bio at the end of the article, mm-hmm. and the bio says like Todd Starnes has written books including Godless America: Real Stories from the Front Lines of Attack on Traditional Values. And then someone's like, you got to look at his other books. And one of his other books is called, what the fuck is it called?
I do not drink my own pee. Yeah. This is a slanderous and libelous campaign against me.
His other book.
Warm piss.
His other book is called They Popped My Hood and Found Gravy on the Dipstick. That's fucking.
Wait.
With foreword written by Mike Huckabee.
What the fuck?
And so,
I like it.
And so Mediaite has an excerpt from his new book.
What?
The first page.
Read the title again, please. All right,
so that's not from, this is from the latest book. That the They Popped the Hood and Found Gravy on the Dipstick is his old book.
Mm-hmm.
His new book is called,
it's a love story.
His new book is called Godless America: Real Stories from the Front Lines of the Attack on Traditional Values.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's the Amazon description. Pay attention, people of faith. Dark clouds are gathering.
Mm.
The winds of intolerance are blowing.
Yeah.
There's a great storm approaching.
Yeah.
American Christians are facing uncertain times.
For sure.
Our nation's values are under attack. Religious liberty has been undermined.
Pissed on.
We live in a day when right is now wrong and wrong is now right.
Right is right.
The vicious left-wing attack against the recent traditional marriage stance of Chick-fil-A should serve as a wake-up call to people of faith. Everything's about chicken with this fucking
guy. Yeah.
It's not about a chicken sandwich. It's about religious liberty.
Yuck.
It's about free speech.
Freedom.
It's about the future of our nation.
White power.
And so here's the first page.
What?
I feel like a Duck Dynasty guy living in a Miley Cyrus world.
Totally. Oh, my God. From the first sentence.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I feel like I'm getting twerked on by Washington, D.C.
Oh, he learned a word. He's hip with the kids.
Dude, that was on fleek.
It's really no surprise that I identify with Mr. Phil and Miss K and Uncle C. Or Cy, I guess. We're all Southern. And like the Robertson, I'm proud to call myself a gun-toting, sweet-tea-drinking, Bible-clinging American.
That's fine.
President Obama calls us bitter. But I prefer to be called blessed. Besides,
#blessed.
Besides, the only reason we're clinging to our guns and Bibles and our jugs of sweet tea is because we're afraid he's going to take them away from us.
Yeah, those sweet tea fucking lobbies, the anti-sweet tea lobbies, always like, hey, you know what? You gotta get rid of the sweet tea.
Sorry, sweet tea is racist. It's gotta go.
That's your doctor because you're diabetic.
Please, sir. It's
you are
good.
Missing a foot.
There's so much sugar in it.
I do whatever I want.
We're a peculiar people. That's how the Bible describes us. Mm. My Uncle Jerry from Coldwater, Mississippi, fancies himself to be an armchair theologian.
Oh, Jesus.
He said the literal interpretation of that passage means, I'm an odd duck. Well, quack, quack, quack,
it's
baby.
Not literal.
Yeah.
I grew up in a much simpler time. When BlackBerry was a pie, and dirty dancing meant somebody forgot to clean out the barn for the square dance.
Dirty dancing isn't even relevant anymore.
No.
You can't...
It was a time when father still knew best.
Mm-hmm. He's mad at Kevin Bacon and shit. And he's just like, I don't.
Back when a live stream didn't mean getting pissed on.
In my day, we didn't die hard. We lived Jesus.
Yeah. Back when beetles were just little bugs that crawled on the ground.
It was a time when father still knew best, when the girls were girls and the men were men.
Mm, yeah, I love that, by the way. When the men were men and girls were girls. He's not even, there's no women. Yeah. And all girls were infantilized. Even the old ones we called fucking old ass girls. Oh, my mother.
I grew up in a time when a rainbow was a sign of God's promise, not gay rights.
Oh, yeah.
He's mad about the rainbow. Well,
you guys remember, though, when you were young and you saw a rainbow and you said, it's like a promise from God.
He's just looking out there and he's like, oh, I wish this weren't so gay.
I do love thinking that every time a rainbow happens, there's at least a small portion of the population going, fucking queers.
Like me reading this, I'm just like, this is what PFT commenter has been copied. Like, yeah. This is the serious version of PFT commenter.
Really, really just the urine wafting off of this.
Yeah.
When I grew up, spam was something you ate, okay, and a stop. Hard drive.
You're making it up now. No, you just
not,
gone off script.
I swear to God,
like,
I'm not.
This should have stopped a paragraph ago. He's still going. And like back in the day, just.
And back when I grew up, Google meant one with 100 zeros at the end. And the Yahoo was just a crazy guy. And Bing was this dude who used to beat his son.
He married the best sweet tea.
I'll never let go of it.
That old wife beater could sure make some tea, we used to say. When I grew up, spam was something you ate, and a hard drive was the 12-hour trip to grandma's house without any bathroom
fuck
breaks.
Fuck you. Fuck your grandma.
Nowadays, all these entitled kids need these bathroom breaks.
You got your digital grandma, and you pee anywhere you like.
Back when I was good, we would just keep driving, and I'll drink my own piss. Mama's little piss boy. That's how they know me. You remember me. I know a thing or two about bathroom breaks. You don't break. Don't break for no one. You drink that piss. It's warm. It's body temperature. You're not even going to notice it in your mouth. 98.6 degrees through and through forever. And you're gonna piss that out again. You're pissing clean water right after that. We used to call that recycling. Back when recycling wasn't so gay. Back when recycling just meant continuously drinking your own piss because you needed to get to Gam Gam's house as fast as possible. Those are the days. Everyone remembers those days.
I miss Matt so much.
This guy's great, though.
Yeah. I got to get Joe Sinclitico on the line because I told him we'd call him, and I don't know what that guy's doing.
I don't want to upset him. I don't ever want to be on Joe's bad side.
No.
Because on his good side, he sends me pictures of prolapsing anuses and says, groceries.
Yeah. Yeah. On his bad side, he just cold shoulder. That's what he does.
Guy. So I was thinking, since I got back from my vacation, mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten through like 33 minutes of this podcast, mm-hmm. and I didn't get to preface a single thought with, when I was in Croatia.
Oh, yeah, you didn't. Because you know what? You're not pretentious.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that so much, though.
So you were in Croatia.
Croatia.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Please.
Where is Croatia?
Okay, so you know where the calf is on Italy?
I do.
So you know there's water on the other side of the calf.
Oh, yeah, that's the Black Sea.
That's the Adriatic.
That is the Adriatic Sea.
So between the calf and the ankle,
uh-huh.
just across that body of water, that's Croatia.
It's like the Achilles tendon. Oh, no, it's across the water.
That's not Dracula Country at all.
No.
Oh.
Transylvania.
It's not very far from, it's like two countries over from Dracula Country.
Where is Transylvania?
It's a part of, it used to be part of Hungary, and now it's all in Romania, I believe.
Mm, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Croatia's different.
Yeah.
All right.
What do they got there?
Yeah. Why were you there?
What
it's
they
a
got?
Great place, I got to say.
You went there because it was great?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's cool. I haven't been.
Because, you know, like the French Riviera, you got the blue Mediterranean.
Oh,
and
do
all the
I
girls,
know about the French
all the hot
Riviera?
Yeah, we know about
stuff.
That. We
Dude,
go there
you think,
all the time.
Yeah,
all
you don't
the
think I'm there like every weekend.
I'm there right
bro.
Now. Right. Dude, yeah. I'm right there, right there, right there.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's up, French women?
Yeah, I like your boat.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, and your house.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the way you're tan. What happened just now?
I realized that I put my snooze in the beer that I just tried to drink.
No. Oh no!
But it's not like dip juice, but it's not great either.
God.
So it's
you're in Croatia.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. You know, you got your turquoise water.
I love that.
And your sunny beaches, but you also got mountains there. The thing about the Balkans is that it's very mountainous, and the mountains are made out of mostly limestone, which is very.
Thank God, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Because I was like, are we really going to talk about mountains? You know,
well, there's a lot of cliffs.
Oh yeah, limestones.
It's
yeah.
Basically everything's built into a cliff. You're like a lot of views.
Fucking geology.
It's where they
shoot Game
of Thrones.
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
So yeah, we went to Dubrovnik, which is where King's Landing is.
I feel like Joe is here.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I know. Shh. Tell me about it, bro. How you doing, Joe?
What's up, dude? Who's that?
It's Matt. It's Matt.
What's up, bro?
It's Matt Lieb. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Are we podcasting right now, or are you talking about Dubrovnik?
Well, we're doing both.
We are podcasting.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all right.
It's a great place. I'll write all about it, and you guys can read all
dude,
about
I,
it.
Dude, I'd love
to get right on that.
I'd love to go.
Go to your blog.
It's the Marine.
Yeah,
area?
Both. Yeah, there's Marine. That's in Split, or it's at the Fortress of Cleese.
John Cleese?
Mm-mm. I don't know what the Fortress of Cleese is.
It's a fortress outside of Split.
How did you just say that then? You didn't.
But you're not talking Game of Thrones stuff.
I was at the location.
Yeah, you're talking like real stuff. I don't know.
Oh, so Game of Thrones has a place called Fortress of Cleese.
No.
Okay.
Game of Thrones has a place called Meereen.
Marine.
And that's shot at the Fortress of Cleese.
That's so awesome.
And then King's Landing is in Dubrovnik.
You know what? I got to say, and I'll probably be the first to say this, I love Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's such a good show. I think it's super underrated. It's like one of those shows that it's going under the radar and people just think it's some fantasy show. It's so far beyond that.
More than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only issue with Game of Thrones is that each episode is not the length of my life.
Yeah, I do hate that.
The next Game of Thrones episode comes out.
They're super short. You're like, after an hour, you're like, oh my God, I'm just getting into it. And then it's done. And then you have to wait a fucking year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just, like if you got 3 hours of Game of Thrones every week, how much would you pay for that? I would pay like $75 a month.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Probably $700 a month.
Like if I'm being honest, I am torrenting all of them. I would never buy.
As Joe once described Game of Thrones to Justin Halpern, it's like adult Lord of the Rings with doggy style fucking.
Yeah, no, it is though, and that's I do enjoy that. It's
They had way more doggy style fucking back in the day. Now it's just like rape, and I don't know. It's not as sexy.
Yeah, I liked more of the fingering on horseback than the whole flaying and rape. I got to be honest.
You remember the scene in the very first season where Roz, that girl, the character Roz.
Oh, I absolutely remember.
She's
Roz.
she's like finger banging this chick from the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that one? Uh-huh. One time, my friend Jacob Suroff like ran into her at this burger shop called Astro Burger in Hollywood, and it was like super late night, and he was drunk, and like he like sat down next to her, and he's like, I gotta ask you, like, were you fingering her ass or her pussy? And she was like, I don't know, we don't know, no idea.
I don't know.
It's dark. It's dark down there.
I guess girls don't smell their finger afterwards. That's what I learned from that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think movie magic, first of all, I don't think she really had her fingers anywhere.
Mm.
And I think that...
They painted her finger green just so they could...
Yeah, just to fuck with it. Yeah. Like, where's the green
hole?
Do
we'll do it in post.
No one knows. Oh, I see. Yeah. They green screened the...
yeah, they green screened her finger.
Yeah, the slime or... what's in women? It's called slime, right?
I don't know. Ask Ben Carson.
Yeah. Like whenever a girl's
it's
like
called Joseph's
is wet.
Joseph's batter.
Joseph Technicolor girls inside.
Joseph Technicolor girl parts.
Oh yeah, girl. Yeah, you got so much slime.
I remember when men were men and girls were filled with multicolored slime.
They peed from their butt, and it was good.
I love that. Did you say it was Jacob Siroff who asked that question?
Yeah,
I love that guy. That guy is super funny.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude.
And he seems like the kind of guy who would ask that of an actress.
Yeah, that's...
just like, hey, so were you finger fucking?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
Well, and I'm sure he's also the type of guy that would like see the girl from Game of Thrones and be like, I'm gonna fuck the girl from Game of Thrones at 2 o'clock, and then like go and try to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And like
he's a dreamer.
And, like potentially pull it off, which he did not. But
well,
I'll also say this. So I always make fun of movies and how like every actor has got a shaved chest in movies.
Yes.
And for some reason, like no one finds this distracting. Like it'll be a period piece, and they'll make the girl wear a merkin on their vagina, and yet. Like the movie will be about a space Viking or like a swamp hobo, and they'll show him and he's got a clearly like bicked chest, which is weird. But then I saw Jacob Siroff with his shirt off, and I'm like, this is like a 38-year-old man who does not have a single chest hair.
Yeah, there are some. I'm resigned to the fact that I'm never gonna have a full beard. There's some people who just don't develop.
He's got like zero body fat and not a single chest hair, and I'm pretty like non-hairy, and you know. And he's like not.
Yeah.
He's like a lab rat. He's like a lab rat.
Yeah. He's like a hairless cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Do some experiments on that chest.
He's going to be a really slippery old man.
Like you when know? They have to put the ointment on him?
Yeah, he's going to be covered in ointment, shiny.
Just sliding on the hardwood floors.
Sliding everywhere.
He's going to be all like, he's got dementia, and all the nurses are trying to grab him. They're like, oh, he's so slippery.
Yeah, you're going to try to pick him up like one of those endless cylinder things that you would get at Spencer's.
The slippery snake.
The slippery snake. You're trying to just pick him up, put him in the wheelchair.
I'm going to live forever. I'm a slippery snake.
That should be his nickname, the slippery snake.
The slippery snake. Siroff.
He has like a twin brother. I knew the guy for like a couple years, and he had a twin brother, and they grew up in Oakland, and they were like super into hip hop.
Yeah,
and shit.
He's hood as fuck.
And one day the twin brother came home and went up to Jacob, and he's like, yo man, like, dude, the craziest thing happened today. Somebody asked me if I was mixed, and he was like super proud. Like,
yeah.
He was just like, somebody asked me if I was mixed.
Yeah, man.
Super pumped.
That is kind of a nice feel. Like
a white guy who's into hip hop, that's pretty much the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Well, no, but if someone, Vince is someone who's like a white guy who's maybe ambivalent about hip hop. If someone thought you were mixed, like part black, would there be any part of you that's kind of proud?
Oh yeah, and when I grew, I didn't grow up around a lot of black people, but I grew up in a town that was like 75% Hispanic,
right? Yeah,
and I vividly remember one of my friends, Jaime Gomez,
yeah,
was like, "Man, I hate white boys, but you're pretty cool."
Yeah,
and I thought that was like the coolest thing.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. I love that shit. Yeah. I mean, it's all white. There's white guilt.
Thanks. I'm gonna appropriate that.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna
take
that and make it mine.
Well, it's funny because
I also played
basketball with this guy EJ Vela, and he grew up and like his best friend was this white dude, and it wasn't like something that people talked about, but he told me this story about he was with his buddy, and I think they're in grades like second or third grade, and his buddy was like, man, I hate Mexicans. And so then he went home, and in front of his mom he's like, man, mom, I hate Mexicans. And his mom like slapped him upside the head like, what do you think you are, stupid?
Yeah,
like, oh
right. Fuck. Yeah. That's great. That's white privilege right there, where you're just like, I know my best friend's Mexican, but
I don't think he knew though. That's the thing.
Oh, I see.
I was super into hip hop when I was in high school. Me and my buddy were like just obsessed with hip hop, but we were in literally this area of San Diego where there's legitimately like not a black person for like 20 miles either direction.
Right.
And my friend my friend got transferred. Like he didn't like playing basketball at this one school because he didn't get along with the coach. So he went to a different high school, and that high school had, you know, I mean, it was like maybe like 30% black or whatever, but the basketball team was all black guys. So he was hanging out with all these black dudes, and he's like, dude, you got to like come hang out with us. And I was like, so fucking pumped to go hang out with black dudes.
Yeah.
And so I put on my like Tommy Hilfiger jacket, like all this shit. And we go hang out with them at this football game. And I walk up, and I must've been there for like fucking 2 seconds before they were just like, look at this motherfucker right here. Look like he majors in computer science. Yeah, dude, look at this stupid dude. You look like the dude from fucking Ghostbusters. Yeah. That turns into the dog. Like they were just fucking hammering me for like 10 minutes. And then I just went home, immediately signed up on the Ku Klux Klan email list.
And now it's been leaked.
Just like, but I still just hung in there. I was like, this is the best. Like,
people say
they're doing snaps on me.
people
it's just like TV.
People always say, like, whenever they talk about areas of or groups of white people who aren't around a lot of diversity, aren't around a lot of people of color, and they're always like, oh, those people are always fetishizing black culture. But I'm kind of like, nah, man, I'm pretty sure it's like all white people in America. We all kind of fetishize it a bit.
It's not just America. It's everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere. It's the whole world. I mean, I can't comment on the 100%. Whole world, nor can I comment on all of America. But I know, like, for me, like, LA has got a huge population of black people. And my high school, middle school, elementary school all had a lot of black people. I still yearned for black approval and Latino approval and, you know, occasionally Asian approval, although Asians and whites, it was almost like the same thing. Everyone was, you know, I feel like, I don't know, Jews and Asians, they're like the same. But it is true that, like, that, no, I still was like yearning for that shit. When I used to do the Bone Thugs covers on guitar, someone uploaded a video of it to World Star Hip Hop, and one of the comments was like, did that white boy just say the N-word? And then the comments below are like, man, you're tripping. That guy is mixed. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like really happy. And I was like, nah, I'm not mixed. I did just sing the N-word. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't substitute it for anything?
No, I had made a decision when I started doing the covers, because it was around the time that they had just come out with a new edition of Huckleberry Finn, where they replaced the N-word with slave. So it was Slave Jim.
Oh.
And we all agreed, you know, on a national academic level, that's not cool.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't censor Mark Twain.
That's,
you know,
history.
History. And also he's in on it. Like that was the point. You know, Mark Twain is a great satirist, so you can't really. And I was like, this is the same thing with Bone Thugs. You can't just change history.
Right.
I'm going to do the covers exactly as they are written. And I looking back, hindsight is 2020. I probably shouldn't have done it, especially since there's a public record. But at the same time, those covers were hot fire.
Yeah.
And I was just keeping it 100.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm the world's foremost Bone Thugs and Harmony cover band. One man cover band. I do all the voices.
That's amazing. I'm searching right now.
Yeah, you got to look for it. It's just look up Bone Thugs and Harmony acoustic cover. And you'll see me doing Thuggish Ruggish.
It's under Piss Loving Good Boy.
How did you know Jacob from because he's come to San Francisco a few times?
Yeah, I met him like a few weeks ago. He came to the Punchline on Sundays and closed it out on Sunday, and he closed it out like maybe a month or 6 weeks ago. And I met him there for the first time. And apparently, he was a Bay Area comic. And we talked for a bit, and then I watched him close it out and do this whole thing, and it was like it was great. It was so funny. I thought he was a really really funny dude. I hosted that night. That's how I met him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like one of the dudes that I think he probably has gotten in his own way too much to like, but if he wasn't that way, he would be absolutely be famous. Like,
yeah,
I mean, he's so like me and Vince did a weekend or did some shows with him at the,
Madhouse
Improv. No, where the
Ice
fuck
House?
Was that?
Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Oh, Rooster Teeth. Yeah.
And, you know, he's pretty, like, you know, I don't know if edgy is the right word, but he like fucks with the audience.
Yeah, he's edgy.
I think you can call him edgy.
Murder. There was like a couple shows there where he was crushing as hard as I'd ever seen anybody crush.
Yeah.
He was fucking, you know, I've seen the guy 1,000 times and I was like sitting through all his headlining sets. He was really turning it on. But he has this amazing story. He was on Live at Gotham, and then he got on that Jim Norton show, Down and Dirty with Jim Norton.
Yeah.
And he was actually on, because he had some heat on him, he was on the initial episode.
Mm-hmm.
And which is the one that everybody watched because it was the fucking, like, you know, premiere episode, and everybody was hyped about this Jim Norton show. Yeah. It was going to be like the, you know, like a Def Comedy Jam resurgence type of thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was Whitney Cummings. What's the fucking one dude he used to date Amy Schumer. What's that guy's name? He's super funny.
Jeselnik.
Jeselnik.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jim Jeffries.
Damn.
And so I guess fucking Jim Jeffries murdered so hard that they cut Jacob's segment.
That sucks.
And gave Jim Jeffries 2 segments. And then everybody on that show basically got fucking famous.
Oh.
And got so much heat from
Well,
that.
That's not him getting in his own way. That's literally a tragic story.
Yeah. and when I say that, I'm only like repeating shit he's told me, but he's a fucking such a mega talented guy.
Oh, he's a beast, dude. He's so funny. So everyone listening, look up Jacob Siroff. We got you, homie. We gonna get you famous.
Yeah. So Joe, you did watch Project Greenlight.
Me and my girlfriend were just watching it when you called. We were trying to get through it.
Did you watch? Did you watch the movie that they made first or the show first?
Well, I've been watching the show, and then we just watched the last episode.
Yeah.
And then I watched probably 45 minutes of the actual movie.
Mm-hmm. So I had this thing. So I watched the movie first because I hadn't seen I had been meaning to watch the show, but I hadn't gotten to it yet. And then I watched the movie.
Oh, that must have been such a weird experience.
Yeah, so I watched the movie.
Fucking watch the movie first and then go back and see the way that dude direct, like, insisting on film and all that
shit. Well, because it was interesting because usually, you know, you watch a bad movie and you think, how the fuck did this happen?
Yeah.
And that movie, you watch it, and I watched it, and it reminds me a lot of indie movies that I've seen or, like, student films where you watch it and, like, 5 or 10 minutes in, you're just like, this is just not working. Like at a very basic level.
Right.
And it kind of felt like it looked really good. Like, you know, it was shot beautifully.
Well, that's all that matters.
But it just didn't work at all. And it kind of looked like someone had given a directing student a challenge where they're like, all right, we have this script that's like in a different language than the one you speak. Like, shoot it. Like, it looked like he just took some script that he didn't know.
What's the movie called?
It's called The Leisure Class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly the best movie that's ever been directed by anorexic albino.
Yeah.
Of all time.
He's a weird... looks like a slippery fucking... What is that called again?
Slippery snake.
Slippery. That dude would be a slippery ass snake.
Well, Justin Halpern was like, someone told me he looks like Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
He does.
The guy with the...
Yeah, totally.
He totally does. He's super skinny and he's the whitest person I've ever seen. So... like going into the show, like I just assumed that they stuck him with some script and he sort of did what he could with it without understanding any of it. Come to find out, the dude wrote the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like when you saw the you saw snippets of the short film, and also just based off the fucking sort of thing that you remember that like challenge that they had where they all had to make that short film based on the script, and his was kind of like Fight Club-y, sort of grungy, dark, in a basement. That's kind of how I felt like he was gonna make. But this movie just looked like a fucking. I mean, it just looked like every other movie, you know, like sort of Farsi comedy movie,
right?
And not only that, but like once I got like 15 minutes into it, I was like, "Wait, you just made this movie again? Like we've seen this movie a fucking thousand times.
Yeah, you get 5 minutes into it and you're like, I know exactly everywhere this movie is going.
What this movie.
Yeah. And the odd thing, I thought the funny part was, if you're watching the first episode, you can see exactly where they went wrong. Because there was another guy, they're like, this guy made a film where I was just laughing the whole time. But he didn't do that anything that interesting with this random 3-minute script we gave him. This other guy, his thing wasn't that good. It looked really good, but he did something really weird with this 3-minute script we gave him. And you're like, why would you pick that guy? Like,
yeah,
you have a whole team. Like, if some guy has no eye for, making it look, you can kind of. You can put people around him to do that.
Right. Like you'd figure like there's a director of photography or some sort of like, assistant director or someone who can like make the movie look like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the visionary is supposed to be the one who's like, I got a really funny or a really interesting premise and idea here. Yeah. And the script is amazing.
He should be like a story content kind of guy. And that guy was sort of like,
but maybe that's,
we got to reshoot this because it's overexposed. And you're like, that is the least of your problems.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Like maybe. Yeah. Like
Unbreakable looked good. And you think fucking Angelina Jolie knows about camera lenses or whatever. I mean,
right. She doesn't exactly. Know fucking shit. Exactly.
They just hire somebody to they hired do all
Roger
that
Deakins,
shit for
and
her.
Roger Deakins makes everything look good.
Yeah. It is kind of weird when he was, just focusing on like, oh, this shot is overexposed, and you're like, the movie's bad.
Yeah,
like that's not gonna. All you're doing is making your really bad movie look more professional.
And I kind of felt weird for Effie Brown, who I liked throughout the show, and then towards the end, she's kind of like, this female character, like she's not there. Like there's nothing there. We need to do something to make this, to make her come out. And she was right, but at the same time. You could have said that for every single character in that movie. Like, there was no characters in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of shows you how full of shit, like, all the fucking people like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, when they were like, I thought it was great, and this guy's the real deal, and da-da-da, and you're like, oh, wow, you guys are really just, like, full of shit.
Well, I thought that Matt Damon was the only person who saw the movie and had, like, an accurate critique, because he's like, look... You got to make it so we sort of commiserate with this main character. We got to sort of, we don't have to identify with him, but we have to like know where he's coming from and who he is. And that was like, so the movie is about, for people who haven't watched it, it's about this English guy who has he's sort of insinuated himself into this rich family of politicians and he's like engaged
using
to like
a fake
daughter.
Identity.
Yeah. And that was another thing. Like who can get away with using a fake identity
for that long?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the thing. If that's what the movie is about, then I'll go with it. My problem.
But the main guy, the main guy and his buddy were trying to do this improv thing. And it was like,
dude, I knew the movie.
Was that improv?
I fucking hate the movie. I saw the main guy's face.
Yeah.
Fucking British face of his, I was just like, this is going to be the worst. There's literally nothing fucking worse than a British guy trying to be adorable and clever. It's the least fucking funny shit in the world. I hate it so much.
I like Hugh Grant, I'm about Hugh Grant. When he's adorable,
But he's more adorable. I mean, he's fuckable.
Yeah, that's a good point. He is fuckable.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do feel like the problem. Okay, so if you're gonna like criticize the movie,
and he's also the best at, he's like, it's like, watching fucking, I don't even know.
You're right. He's the Muhammad Ali of cutesy British people. Yeah, he's a bad example.
I gave zero example and didn't even finish my thought. And you're like, you're right. You're right. Absolutely.
No, I know what you were trying to say. It's like you didn't want to find an example, but I was like, just say Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali. Let's go with the easy ones. But you're saying Matt Damon was giving it like a good critique of it to him on the phone. I felt like at that point at which
ship had already sailed
right,
at that point.
Like what can you do other than like be like, well, so you tried your best. You made a bad movie. It's unfixable. If you want to, you could write another movie. Like that's what I would have said. But I mean, what he did was just garbage.
Well, I think the problem was, when people pitch a project, they're usually pitching a plot.
Right.
They're like, this is what happens in the story. But when you're watching a movie, like no one really watches a movie for the plot. Like it's much more sure. about the characters. Like mm-hmm. it's about characters that are interesting and hopefully they come
and earthquakes.
Yeah, and earthquakes. Hopefully they combine for a good plot. But like the beginning like of it is like characters that you believe as people or care about as people or just, you know, you're interested in them in some way. And this is just sort of a, it's like he's got a plot and then there's no characters in it. It's just like these cardboard cutouts.
And the problem with him being like this con man and his like brother comes in as a drunk and is going to ruin it for him. Like there's no part of me that's feeling any tension mm-hmm. for it to be ruined because I'm like, it should be ruined. He seems like a right. con man.
And it just doesn't feel real in any
right.
way.
Yeah, no. Like,
they're doing the thing where they're nudging each other under the table at the dinner party and you're like, anybody at the dinner party who doesn't realize what is going on would have to have been like a lobotomy victim.
Right,
like,
exactly.
There's no way.
There's no way none of them know. Like there was a scene where, yeah, they're both nudging each other. They're both kind of like, you know, one guy's like, oh, well, you know, you've got a plane to catch, so you can't stay at the party. He's like, oh, they just called. It got canceled. Oh, I just heard another call and it's back on. At any point, do one of the women go, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Jeff? I forget his name.
About? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And, and the brother, like,
that
was
a great movie.
I don't want to blame it on him being British, but, you know, the wild card brother was this weird, like, British spindly actor guy wearing, like, a cravat or something. Like, he just wandered in off the set of some sort of Shakespeare play. And you're like, what world is this happening in? This doesn't.
Yeah.
None of this reads like a normal. It's sort of like Wedding Crashers if Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn were just these two weird British guys that weren't very funny and you didn't care about it all.
And you can tell what the guy's going for because he's like trying to create this sort of like frantic spiral into the night from hell, but it's like not even remotely fucking close to being as over the top as it would need to be to like make you feel that. You're just like, this seems like a shitty night and this guy's annoying.
Yeah.
The problem is like the characters, if your characters are better, then I think it works better. But it, right. I mean, that's obviously that's like an easy thing to say, but I feel like rather than relying on like different kind of conventions in order to make things happen, you just have like really intense, like if that brother had been more than just a drunk dude,
mm-hmm.
like I'm drunk and I'm gonna ruin this for me brother, I don't know how to do an accent clearly, then maybe I would have understood if he was like straight up mental patient style, like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ruin
they're all mind. Reacting to him like he's outrageous and you're like, this guy's not that outrageous, I'm kind of bored.
There's only six stories and there's an infinite number of character possibilities.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you focus on that part?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times when someone's like trying to write a character where it's, oh, we got to identify with this guy, they just make him this sort of blank vessel where he has no real personality. Yeah. He's like a cipher. And you're like, well, now I definitely don't care because this doesn't seem like a person. He's just sort of
It's crazy how much money that thing probably cost.
$3 million.
$3 million.
I told you guys I got mad about the Avengers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the cars.
Oh, yeah.
And they were probably, some of them were probably working cars.
Yeah.
Like, people could have drove those cars to work.
I could have had it.
Not on the Avengers. They could have driven those cars to work on the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they flipped them over.
Yeah, they just exploded
for
them.
For fucking no reason.
Yeah. I think Marvel just has a thing in their contract where they're like, look, I hate black SUVs. I'm going to flip them all over.
Yeah.
Every black SUV has to flip over on its windshield and we're going to scrape it across the ground.
It is super wasteful and it does make you think.
I want that SUV. I'll drive it. Its gas mileage isn't great, but at least it's not flipped over sliding on the ground.
Every one of those flip cars to Brett is like Brendan Lee getting shot.
What a waste!
You know, what a waste!
He's so good at
we could have used him in other things.
I like that. You know how Spanish speaking people can't recognize the difference between B's and V's. Like they don't have that phoneme in their.
Okay.
Matt Lieb is kind of like that with Brendan and Brandon. Like,
yeah,
he just
I really can't.
He's like genetically incapable of recognizing when someone's named Brendan
is
or Brandon.
Is it Brandon Lee?
Yeah, it's Brandon.
Oh, okay. See, that's the thing. I can't do that.
Hey, well, this is Brandon.
So, because sometimes there's Brendans and sometimes there's Brandons and sometimes there's Brandons.
Therein lies the problem.
Brandons.
There's Brendans and Brendons.
There's Brendans and Brendons.
They don't get along.
And there's Brandons.
Don't you put them in the same
and
room?
And Brandons. But there's no Brodans. And I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I am Brodan. Yeah, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So Brandon Lee.
Brodan, he was a sculptor. He only painted guys pounding chicks.
Hey, this is Brodan. This is me smashing some poon. This is...
Look, I made a sculpture about me smashing some poo, and he's thinking real hard about pussy.
Yeah, this is my statue of David pile driving this hoe.
This is David Slampiece.
Yeah.
Janine.
This She's is called.
A, she was a slut.
Brodens before Hodens.
Brodan.
It's a giant pterodactyl. It just wants to fucking fist bump. Yeah. And drink fucking shots of fireball.
When Godzilla fought Brodan. Bro, why are you being sketch? Bro,
oh, he's fist bumping me.
Girl, be chill. Bro, you're sketch.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what do you guys think? Fucking, what do you think? Leisure Class is tracking on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be
23.
Under, 23. I'm going to say 17.
It's 23%.
0%.
Oh. Whoa.
There's, it's just getting
Vince, you got to get in there and give it a thumbs up. You got to fucking break some hearts, man.
Can't wait. Have you released a review of it?
No.
Okay. So can
do
you?
It. Yeah.
Can you?
Can you break the meter again?
No, I can't do that in good conscience.
Chill out, bro.
Come on.
Yeah,
be,
bro. Come on, dude.
Be the Batman that goes wrong.
Yeah, man.
The
I
bad can, one.
I do feel like...
It's a great movie, you guys. It's an A-plus farce. Edward Weeks has never been better. A-plus. I love...
You got to include something that everyone else loves.
It was poetic.
Wedding Crashers is for pussies.
Either that or give it a rotten, but write that you're mad. Like, I would this whole movie see Matt Damon and he ain't in it once. This is some bullshit. I watched that whole Project Greenway documentary and I was like, what the fuck?
Don't you? I mean, I don't know. Joe, did you watch the show before you watched the movie?
Yeah.
So, like, when I was watching the show, after having watched the movie, you know, the end part where they're in post-production and they got all these notes for him, it just made me feel so bad because it was like, there's nothing that you can do to fix this movie at this point.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The best part of that whole series is when they're arguing over cuts and this poor editor, this guy, this like nice dude,
yeah,
who's just been editing, who's been, you know, making multiple cuts and like, let's see the scene this way, let's see the scene that way, and he's been doing everything. Eventually he just has like a complete meltdown and he like walks out of the room with his hands like on his head where he's like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. So, he's like, I'm out, I can't do it.
And I can't imagine, like, I watched the movie once and I was like, I never want to see a single frame of this movie ever again. Yeah. I can't imagine the editor. That guy probably spent like 40 to 50 hours of his life.
Editing is so hard.
I know.
It's so much work. It's so much work.
To like, what is even the fuck you want it to be or what it should, you know what I mean?
Like, what is this supposed to look like?
Yeah, it's like when you say a word over and over again.
When you say a line 100 times, you go, I don't know how to say this. Like I said it the first time, or what I was thinking, I would say it.
It's called semantic fatigue.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, sorry. Semantic satiation.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
I don't think so.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah. And it was weird because, like, you're watching them fight about things. And you want to side with someone, but you're kind of like, they're kind of both wrong. Like, everybody's wrong. There's
like,
many problems.
I fucking loved Effie, but there was some times where you're just like, dude, this chick needs to... And what's funny is, like, there. You know what's interesting about that is I've met, like, 15 Effies in the, you know, comedy industry, in the, you know, commercials and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of, like, sort of these, like, really high-strung women who are fucking really smart and like serious about what they do and intense, and they just they have like no fucking regulator for their emotion. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? They just like let it fucking.
So you're saying
fly.
They're hysterical women?
Yes. Yes.
Fucking patriarchy right here, bruh.
But you just. But you think
it's. No, never mind. I'm not even going to say that ironically because.
Yep, not
worth it.
No, yeah,
I gotta get out of here, you guys.
All right, bye.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Bye, Mr. Matt Lieb.
You what? Doing a show?
Hey. Yeah, I gotta go do a show. I'm already an hour late for
bro,
it.
Bro, every time I'm on the show, you always bail.
Dude, not only that, but also recently, every time I've been on the show, Brendan?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Brendan
hasn't been, and every time he's on, I'm gone, and I feel at this point it's fucking personal.
Like you might be him. Like he's your Mr. Whoa. Robot / Tyler Durden.
Well, okay, first of all, did you just spoiler alert, Mr. You just spoiled that show for me. God fucking damn it. I'm out of here. God damn it. I'm on episode 6.
That's what they tell you. God, you missed it by half an episode.
I hate you.
So I felt bad for Effie because, like she obviously
she's genuinely upset.
Bye.
She seemed like she had the most invested in it, and she seemed like she had her shit together the most of anybody on that show.
Okay, she was my second favorite person. My first favorite person was the fucking other producer guy,
right,
who was constantly just kind of like exasperatedly like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, trying to give
I don't know fucking what is going on. Like he just was so like never had experienced this ever in his life, where I kind of feel like this is every commercial I've ever done. There's always a fucking producer running in like, okay, we got the shot. We got to move on. And the director going like, oh no, let me just like do it. And they're like, no, we have to go. We have to do it. You know?
Yeah.
Like that happens a lot. And I also felt like there was this one moment where the like gaffers were mad at the assistant director.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really kind of like great insight into a lot of sets that I've been on, because you get these guys that are like, they just do the lighting or whatever. You know what I mean? They move the cables around.
Yeah.
But they act like they're the fucking main event. You right. know what I mean? And they're like, yeah, I got something to talk about with you. You didn't. And you're like, bro, like, do you not know the fucking hierarchy that in this, you know, world?
Well,
like,
yeah. Well, shit runs downhill. And so the guys like down there, they're just constantly having shit dumped on them, and there's nothing they can do about it other than they're trying to.
But they do something about it. That's the weird part, is they all like voice their, you know, displeasure very frequently, which I always find sort of interesting, because it's like you would think that they would just get fired or they wouldn't work again. But I've seen a lot of instances where, you know, the crew is complaining and bitching and yelling and shit like that. And you're like, wow.
Well,
I didn't think you
could
do that.
It's understandable because, I mean, all these people that worked on it, if you think of that in terms of, like, they want this thing to go on their reel. So say you're like the costume designer, and you want to design, like, your goal is not to make a good movie. Your goal is to have, like, really cool costumes that you can put on your reel. And so then, like, the writer and the director come in, and they're like, no. Our goal is to actually make the characters like look like disheveled and shitty in this scene. And then the costume designer was like, yeah, but like, this is going to fuck up. Like, I can't show this to, I'm going to spend like months of my life on this, and I'm not going to be able to show it to anybody.
You got
to
stop, man. Shit just got too real for me.
Yeah.
Just like having a portfolio of shit that you don't care about is the worst fucking feeling. And like, you did such a good job.
You
on
worked
all the stuff
your ass off.
They can't see. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, man, that shit. Look, the end result sucked butt, but like, man, it sucked butt perfectly on my side. Like, it was so smooth coming out of the ass.
I designed the sound on this.
Yeah.
I know it sucks butt, but listen to how beautifully
close
it sucks
your eyes,
butt.
Yeah. Ignore the plot, and listen to how good the sound design is.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, like watching it, you know, so my history was I went to undergrad and wanted to sort of make movies, and then I worked on a few sets, and they were all kind of that same environment where everybody sort of wants to be the boss, and everybody wants to do whatever that thing is that they've been tasked with doing. They want to do it like really perfectly and have it for their portfolio. And a lot of times, like, they're all those people's goals will directly contradict like making a good thing. And it's just so depressing to watch.
I understand what you're saying, but like, that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guys that like roll fucking shit around. You know what I mean? Yeah. That aren't like even, they don't give a, they're not like trying to put together a reel. They're just like the guys that like plug in the fucking electricity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those guys, I've seen those guys a lot of times, you know, really sort of like mouth off and get in people's, I don't know if it's just the, since they're like union mm-hmm. and they're, you know, all sort of like independent contractors and they don't really have anybody they need to fucking, you know, impress. And there's so much work in town or whatever the fuck, but I've seen it happen a lot.
Well, I'm sure they're like union guys. They don't need to impress the first time director of Project Greenlight. They're kind of just like, look, man, I don't know what the fuck you're asking me to do.
Exactly.
Tell me what you want. You're fucking annoying the hell out of me right now.
Right. Yeah. And it's so weird. But I thought that was interesting because I've seen that happen so many times on set. I've done 3 commercials. And I've seen that happen. And I always am just like, what the fuck is that? That seems so weird to me. Like,
I like to imagine
just mouthing off to the director and the director's just kind of taking it and.
I like to imagine contempt in it. I work with outsourcers a lot, and they'll do shit that, like, it definitely isn't saving them time, mm-hmm. but, like, totally fucks up the downstream. And, like, I just want to have a nemesis in them. Like, if they're actually trying to fight me because they're enjoying trolling me, like, I can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's weird stuff that goes wrong, and it's just like, why would you choose this? Why this moment? Why would you hold up this entire production because you're the guy who plugs the electricity in?
Yeah.
What does a best boy do? They're the
lighting.
Okay.
Right? It's
that sounds right to me.
Best boy grip. Yeah, I think he's
because it's different than key grip. Key grip holds the boom mic.
No, key grip
he holds it with his hands.
Key grip is responsible for the key hands. Lighting, I wanna say.
Joe, you've been in 100 commercials.
So wait,
this point,
no,
right?
Joe, you actually did a independent film recently.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know about independent.
Okay.
It was like independent. You mean like one person made it?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, it was actually a dude who found me through Film Drunk. He's like a huge fan. Do you know him, Andy Yara? Like, I'm sure he's like tweeted at you or whatever.
Yeah,
or like, yeah. And so he listened to the Film Drunk podcast. Obviously, you know. Then, you know, he became a huge fan of me, as everybody.
It's inevitable.
A disturbing number of listeners, you know, do. Yeah.
And, but he's like been my number one fan, dude. Like always like tweeting at me and favoriting shit. And he's the best. He's the best. And he wrote me, this email, like sent me this script. He's like, I want you to come out, star in this movie. And I was like, all right. Cool. Sounds good. He's like, we're going to send you out to El Paso. And I was like, cool. Sounds good. You know? And, we went out there and it was actually so much fucking fun to shoot this movie, but it was like super low budget. Like I think he spent like $7,000-$8,000. We shot it like over maybe 8 or 9 days. Mm-hmm. And, it was just like, it was super hilarious because like, I was basically the only, there was like one other girl that had any acting experience. The rest of the people were like his family members, like, you know, like people, other, like the sound guy's dad was in one scene. There was one point where he was working on, a scene with one of the main characters. And I was like, yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm having a tough time working through this scene with this character. We've been Skyping or he's like, we've been trying to work on the lines and stuff, you know, but he's not really an actor. I go, oh, is, or no, he goes, yeah, I'm having a hard time working on lines with him. I go, oh, is he an actor? And he's like, no, he's my dad.
Yeah.
And so, but it was like, amazingly enough, this kid like had like, well, I felt he did it like a amazing job of casting it. As, excluding myself, I felt like everybody he cast in every one of his roles, and maybe this was because he wrote the role for them, he did just really good job casting it. You know what I mean? And so like, yeah. it ended up, and it was super fun to shoot. And it was like, you know, we're in El Paso. He's a Mexican dude. And, you know, El Paso is like 90% Mexican. So we were always like, you know, it was like always like all this like family around, and they were like cooking us dinner. And like, they were, I mean, it was just, it was fucking awesome. It was like so much fun, but, we'll see how it turns
out.
I'm anxious to see what it turns out to be. I think, you know, just like from a actor's perspective, like I've never really even had lines in fucking anything where, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this was like this super like low key sort of like, we would start shooting at like 8 o'clock at night and shoot till like 5 a.m. every night.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he didn't want to like black out windows or like have to pay for, figure out how to make stuff look like it was night. So we just would shoot all through the night. And, so it was like these really weird hours, and it was like, I was kind of figuring out the character as we were going. And there was a lot of like learning how to even develop a character. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never done that. I've never done a play. I've never done like, you know, anything longer than like a short commercial. So I think as it went on, like my acting got better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I kind of like figured out like the rhythm, and then there was other times where it was just like, you know, we were just fucking exhausted. I have no idea what I was even doing.
Yeah. Well, so. I don't know. I always think that, that Joe's a pretty damn good actor.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because, so I was reading something, this guy's thing about what makes good acting. And it was like partly, it's like part believability and part surprise. Like,
yeah.
you want to believe that the person is really experiencing whatever they're supposed to be experiencing.
Yeah.
But also like in a surprising way.
Yeah.
And so
I think it's a lot of fear too. Yeah, I'm genuinely afraid of Joe.
Yeah.
Well, I play a hitman, and so I like in the beginning, like we were just shooting all these scenes. And then like halfway through, you know, I was like, you know, let me like see some of these scenes. And I started to like play some of the scenes, and it would be me. And I had the big fucking mustache and my hair slicked back, and I had my gun, and I looked kind of fucking scary. And then I would be like, hey, bro, like, what's the fucking problem here, dude? Yeah. What's fucking going on, huh? You got a fucking problem here?
You don't have that nice internal skull reverb making you sound all deep and shit.
You need to like de-San Diego yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my god, I'm a nasally weirdo.
Yeah. The fucking cartel's after you, bro. And now you're fucking fucked, dude, because I'm here, dude. I'm not fucking taking you, bro. I also don't have, like, a fucking low voice at all.
Yeah.
So I had to do, like, full, like, Christian Bale. Like, and I felt bad because, like, you know, the dude was fucking busting his ass and making his shit. And meanwhile, I'm, like, figuring out how to act. Like, halfway through, you know, I'm, like, doing shit that, like, any, you know, seasoned actor, like, would have done.
I don't know, but you have that quality where, like, you commit to it 1,000%, but you're also sort of like a bobcat or something. Where like, I don't know when you're going to like scratch my face.
That's the fear. That's the fear. Like, he might, I don't know. He might have actually become a hitman. I don't know. I don't think he knows how to act, and he's going to shoot us.
He might shit on the car. I believe what he's doing. And also he might shit on the carpet. I don't know. It's crazy.
But dude, but the working with this, so this story behind this dude that directed it, like he moved out. He went to film school like in El Paso. He's like, you know, just like all of us, he's just completely fucking obsessed with movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he moves out to LA from El Paso, and he like moves out to LA. He's like trying to, he doesn't have any connections or anything. So he's like trying, he's basically just working the whole time just to live out in LA, and he's not doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, he can't break into anything. And so he's like fuck it, like I'll just move back to El Paso. And he basically like lives with his parents, mm-hmm. saves up, you know, money all year, and then like once a year he makes a movie.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just fucking inspiring. Like yeah. you look at that and you just go, damn, dude, like I wish I had the fucking balls to like, I mean, he's literally putting like laying all the chips on the line. You know what I yeah. mean? It's like all he's putting his fucking own money to do these things when he doesn't have any money. And so there was that, you know, knowing that about in the back of my mind, like I definitely felt compelled to be like, all right, well, like I got to try to do the best that I can.
Don't fuck this up for me.
Yeah. Like yeah. don't fuck it up for him. But then there was just times where it was like, you know, I'd be like farting mid take just to fuck up a take and, you know, just change the lines like yeah. 5 minutes into a take. Just be like, you know, I had this thing where I would pull the gun out before I was supposed to shoot anybody. I got to shoot a bunch of people. And I kept like would pull the gun out and just be like, fuck your mama. and then pull the trigger. And I was like, no, dude, that's like in the sequel. It's like, you know, poster. It's like Borderlands 2. Fuck your mama.
Yeah.
But it was fun, dude. And he, like I said, he did a great job casting it. And I think he could, you know, I think it's very, you know, as it went on, I got more and more, sort of confidence in the guy, and he, you know, I think, I don't know. I'm excited to see how it turns out, you know, I mean, for good or bad, I think it'll be awesome. And it was an awesome experience and he was fucking cool. I would do it. Like, he's like, I want to shoot another movie next year. I was like, I'll fucking be there in a heartbeat. It was so much fun.
Yeah. We got a couple emails and voicemails I wanted to get through before we get out of here.
All right.
Oh, Joe's not going to be able to hear this. Sorry.
Hi, Frogcast. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you guys since episode one when I was still in high school. And I'm about to graduate from university now, so I just wanted to call and say thank you so much because I've listened to pretty much every episode except for the ones that I've...
What's that fucking bitch saying?
...closed in anger, but that's fine. And, yeah, you've gotten me through some rough patches and some horrible times in organic chemistry. So, love the show. Please have Matt on forever. And everybody else is super great as well. So, yes, thank you again from Canada.
That's pretty funny. I always like when someone's like, I've listened to, you guys have gotten me through some tough times. I've listened to all the episodes except for the ones I hated so much that I had to stop listening to.
That is.
Which is fair.
So fair.
Entirely.
Which is probably my episode. We
put out some bad episodes.
Oh, I've had to edit these and I'm like,
The ones we don't edit before we learned how to edit, they're just out there forever. Yeah. That's how my grandchildren remember me, yeah. is the Christmas episode where I got blackout drunk and we lost half of it because we stopped recording.
Oh, that's the best one, too. All right, so got a couple emails, too. Okay, so I have a question, you guys, that I hope has not already been asked or covered on a previous show. While I rarely ever do this unless the film is out of focus or the sound is bad, I was wondering if any of you have good stories pertaining to yourself or other audience members exiting the theater before the film has ended for various reasons. I have a few semi-recent examples that come to mind. When I saw the Spike Lee version of Old Boy, several couples got up and left after just about every overly violent set piece. This seems to happen pretty often, especially with older people, I've noticed. I was with a friend at a screening of Midnight in Paris and noticed a chatty group of teenage black girls a row back. I thought it was a bit weird demographically, by the way, I'm black, but figured they were possibly students working on a paper or maybe actually Woody Allen fans. Well, about 10 minutes in, they all got up and left, and based on their confusion, I assumed they just walked into the wrong theater and it took them too long to realize the film had actually started and was not another trailer. How the fuck does that happen? I've never walked into the wrong theater in my entire life. Finally, my favorite example. I recommended a friend see The Raid 2. He loved it so much he went again the following week on what we call Cheapy Tuesday in Canada, when movie tickets are half price. While the trailers were rolling, this entire family enters and sits in front of him. A mom, a dad, three young kids, and a grandma. As they fumble around, divvy up the popcorn and drinks, and get settled, he immediately starts wondering what the fuck an entire white Jewish family is doing at The Raid 2. They giggle through the remaining trailers, and then the feature starts. My friend senses their confusion, and about 2 to 3 minutes in, the adults start whispering amongst themselves. Then mom leans back and asks my friend, "Excuse me, is this Rio 2?
Oh, Jesus. Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, if you remember how the Raid 2 started, my friend went into panic mode and told them to leave immediately before their kids were scarred for life. And they rushed out to find the correct screening room just before the guy got shot in the back of the head and kicked into the shallow grave in the field. Yeah. Looking forward to your stories. Pardon the grammar and syntax. Fraud on Trey from Montreal.
Next question.
I walked into the wrong movie when I tried to see Interstellar, and it was a theory of everything. Because oh, I was man. Like, this is a little mushy for the trailers.
Yeah.
And then it started, and I think I screamed out, no!
Yeah.
But so, I walked out of RoboCop. I don't walk out of a lot of movies.
RoboCop, the new one?
The new one.
Oh, you walked out of that one?
Yeah.
Like, me and Brendan walked out of Dinner for Schmucks.
Yeah, I got mad sunk cost fallacy. If I paid for it, I'm gonna eat the meal in front of me, motherfucker. Yeah. I don't care if I hate it.
Well, I also have a thing where if I'm gonna review it and I'm really hating it, I'm like, I gotta stay for the end so that my pan on this film is airtight. You know,
you're bringing knives now. Yeah, you're just like, what else can I poke?
Right, exactly.
I walked out of 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm kidding.
I wish I would have walked out of 12
Years. No, I wish. Speaking of that movie, though, like anybody that says that, like, that's one of those movies that was a great movie, but you'd be like anybody that was like, hey, dude, 12 Years a Slave, I fucking love it, dude. I watch it all the time. It's like one of those movies that just comes on TV. I just fucking can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
Just watching 25 Grams before you go out. Oh, we never figured out if that's right or not.
Yeah, or Beautiful was the one with fucking
his whole au revoir.
Yeah, I never saw Beautiful. I just saw, like, okay, it's got Javier Bardem looking serious on the poster, and it's called Beautiful, where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this is some super sad movie about how life is beautiful.
It's like
him
getting
thanks.
Brain cancer and, like, getting a nosebleed into his daughter's cereal. And she's like, yeah. Papa, what's wrong?
Instead of Scarface, instead of watching, like, the first half of... Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas to go do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You just like, let's get pumped up and watch someone die of cancer.
Yeah, there was like the Julianne Moore film where she gets like Alzheimer's
still,
or something.
Still whatever.
Still there. Or I'm still something.
Just the name. Yeah.
Still Alice. Still Alice. Yeah, someone told me to see that and I looked up what it's about and I'm like, no, you cannot get me into that theater for all the money in the fucking world. Yeah.
That's not the cry porn I like. I like cry porn that involves spaceships, motherfucker. Put me on a planet that's sad. I'll cry my fucking eyes out. I need that. But I don't want some old person forget their family.
Yeah,
that's
no
not.
Thanks.
That's just regular life.
Yeah. So I went to see Warrior with Nick Nolte with the fighting and
Warrior.
Yeah, it's him. He's in the fight. It's Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, and they're doing the MMA fighting.
I thought that was like, oh, yeah, no, that movie's been on my queue for a long time. I thought it was called something else.
Yeah, it's called Warrior. I meant to see that one, but every once in a while,
they're brothers.
Every once in a while, they'll do the thing where there's two press screenings at the same theater. And so I just saw the people outside, the publicists outside who have the list with your name on it. And I went up and they're like, oh, okay, come in. And then I sat down and the movie started and I realized it was Contagion. Instead of Warrior, which I actually liked
Contagion. Was really good.
Yeah, I liked Contagion, but that's a movie that I would have avoided. Like, I saw the previews and I was like, I don't want to see this movie.
Yeah,
and it's terrifying.
That's entirely plausible.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Well done, Soderbergh. That's how it goes down. Yeah. Great.
But then it started and Gwyneth Paltrow died in like 5 minutes and they have the autopsy where they fold her fucking scalp all over her eyes. I was like, oh my God, I love this movie.
Soderbergh's like hit and miss for me, but like Contagion was everything on point.
All I know is he does the Nick and like we talk about Game of Thrones, but God, I want to live inside the Nick.
I don't give a shit about Game of Thrones anymore. I'm sorry. Like I'm just going to come out and say it because Matt
whoa,
left.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't give a shit. Oh, Joe's still here. Sorry, dude. Leftovers is my fucking jam now. I don't give a shit about anything other than Leftovers.
Dude, whatever, that guy's fucking eyebrows are so waxed. Yeah. Fucking hard. There's no eyebrow waxers. They all evaporated.
I love how no one talks about how he has like the most attractive family that's ever existed.
His cheekbones are fucking nuts. And he's got a weird nose in a very attractive way.
I'm like, I don't know whether I want to fuck his daughter, his wife, or him. They're all so attractive.
Nora Durst, man. I have such a thing for Nora Durst.
Is that wait, Nora Durst? Which one's she?
Carrie Coon.
Is which one's her real name?
The Carrie.
Oh, so Nora Durst is her character.
Nora Durst is her character.
Yeah, Carrie Coon. Yeah, she's.
I don't know.
She's pretty spectacular. Yeah. The daughter is ridiculously attractive too.
Yeah.
And then Justin Theroux, I'm like, you know, if I had to have sex with a man, he'd be top five probably. Yeah.
He's very cleanly cut. He's very very well sculpted. He's a put together human being.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell,
Tom Hardy, number
Tom Hardy, Clive Owen.
Tom Hardy's got pretty girl features.
Clive Owen's an attractive man.
I think he's attractive. I don't want to fuck him.
Hey, you know who I want to fuck hard? Is Quinn from Homeland.
Quinn from Homeland. Oh, yeah. Rupert, what's his name?
Bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there.
Guy's fucking got some something in my pants for that, bro. Mm-hmm.
He's just a real...
To eat his ass and give him a mouse suck.
Did you say a mouse suck? What's a mouse suck? Is it the mouse in your butt?
No, a mouth suck.
Oh, a mouth suck.
He'd suck the mouse out of his
for
butt.
For your pee-pee.
Yeah, yeah. He's mama's good little mouse boy.
Get that mouse out of there. I'm going to get that mouse out of there. Oh, my God. I'm going to get that mouse out of there.
Let me find that mouse.
Fuck your mama.
So into that, bro.
Trying to think if there's anybody we missed.
People are into John Hamm. They're like, oh, he's my gay crush. Not into John Hamm. I don't want to fuck
him. He's all right.
I
mean,
I don't want to fuck him at all.
He's attractive, but I don't want to fuck him.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I thought the first Dario Naharis was kind of the shit. But he's not the shit as the transporter.
Yeah, that's but true. Oh, you know who's actually good on that note? Is the Game of Thrones dude with the big red beard? That dude? That dude's pretty hot.
You want to fuck that guy?
Yeah, I'd fuck that guy. The Norwegian
Viking
dude?
One?
Yeah, the Norwegian. Yeah.
I mean, if I...
That guy's a badass.
If I were going to fuck some dudes, they'd probably be Northern Europeans. Like those Swedes and shit?
Yeah.
They got like the clean fucking face.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, Alexander Skarsgård.
Which one's he?
He's, he's Mikus?
Mikus?
Not
Brent.
But Mikus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earth to Mikus.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hot dude.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, yeah,
I mean, yeah, if we're going like Silver Fox.
Yeah.
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 Oh, John Slattery. Speaking of Silver Foxes.
Which one's John Slattery?
He's the older dude on Mad Men. He's got the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Super hot.
Dude, you know, remember the one character that fucked Peggy and then he got in trouble for being a drunk and he relapsed and he gets in a fight with John Hamm and John Hamm beats
him.
Duck. Duck was in Platoon. He's the I was rewatching Platoon and Duck is like the lieutenant in Platoon that like Tom Berenger is like always fucking with and he's like super young. Yeah, it's just a thing.
Okay.
That's the thing I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Bro, so how are we going to promote Borderlands, the movie?
Well, you should probably start saying the name more because that's the first time you did it.
Actually, I think it's now called A Little Town in El Paso. What's that one? Something El Paso or down?
Old El Paso?
What is it? No. Hold on. I'm going to tell you guys. Me so horny.
Is it one of those things where they just made a movie out of a phrase? You know, Ryan Seacrest, he's producing a movie called Squad Goals.
Get out of,
like they already did that
the
awkward
West
moment.
Texas town of El Paso.
Oh, okay. I like Borderlands.
Kind of like Borderlands too.
Was Borderlands taken? Was it could have been copyrighted?
I don't know. But I thought it should have started. I told him. He didn't like this idea, but I told him the whole...
A West Texas town of El Paso.
Yeah, the credit should be me singing that in karaoke and then walking, like loading my gun and then walking out into the...
Yeah, fuck your mom.
Fuck to your mom.
Fuck your mom. Fuck your mom.
All right.
Can we get one clean cut of that so we can put it on the soundboard? Just silence on our end.
Dude, there's probably some good outtakes.
No, we want
just
you to do it.
Just do it now.
Clean.
Fuck your mama.
Okay, that's good.
Fuck all right. Your mama.
All right.
Stop.
Fuck your mama.
Okay.
Dude, right. Where's Ben? I've been talking. I'm going to Thailand,
Cambodia,
and Vietnam.
He was supposed to leave us a voicemail this week. I forgot to play it. Fuck.
He did, or you don't know?
He did. Oh, yeah. We can
trust Ben.
We can trust Ben. I'll just play him now.
I've been talking. He's been giving me all this info about Vietnam.
Yeah.
He went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
I can't tell which one's the first one. All right. I think this is the first one. He left two.
He keeps talking about like all the little kids he fucked when he was in Vietnam.
All right. Shh.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Wow. Long time listener. First time caller. And it's great to be a part of the show. If you feel your ears tingling, it's because it's Ben. I am back from my banishment from the broadcast. It feels really good. It feels really good to not have 14 people talking over me. It's kind of a cool feeling.
It's true.
If you don't know who I am, go back and listen to some old broadcasts, you lazy bastards. For those of you wondering, I'm in Spain. That's in Europe. It is not a part of the United States, at least not yet.
That's true.
Just going to soccer games, eating tapas, living in Madrid, doing some writing. If you want to check out anything I'm doing, you can go to KaplanVisuals.com, Kaplan Visuals on Twitter, and Kaplan Visuals on the Instagram, all of them.
Plug-in.
I'm actually heading to London in a little bit for a few days to hang out with a Frotcast listener.
What?
And fingers crossed that he doesn't kill me. And wear my skin as a suit, which would kind of be a bummer.
They are known for that.
I have been texting with Frotcast favorite Joe Sinclitico. He wanted some advice on Vietnam,
where I've
been. One of his concerns, he said that, this is his text, I hate Asians, borderline phobia, wears like the least Asian part. And unfortunately not a lot of places in Vietnam without the Asians. And he said, I want to reenact the scene with Kevin Dillon where he caved in that BC retarded kid's head. Basically why I'm going. So that, you know, I thought everyone would enjoy that from our favorite Joe Sinclitico. Vince wanted me to give my two cents on the movie project, or the TV show Project Greenlight, and the movie, if you want to call it that, The Leisure Class. The show was awesome. I have a feeling they're a little more invested in the reality show, which was great, than the movie, which was one of the worst movies ever made. It was impressively terrible. I watched for about 20 minutes and then ejected, although my brother said I should go back and watch the car crash, which I did, which was one of the worst car crashes ever filmed. I liked that it was like, oh, the car's swerving. Is it? It might hit that other parked car there. Oh, it did. It hit the car. It's that car right there. Hope everyone's okay. So I was impressed with how terrible it was. It made me wonder why Jason Mann is so obsessed with every tiny little detail that no one will ever notice. My brother also sent me a link to him screaming at he was in a punk rock band about 10 years ago in San Francisco.
Oh, what?
Which is pretty interesting.
I didn't know that.
And if he doesn't make it as a filmmaker, I have a very...
He got cut off.
Hey, this is Ben again. Google very rudely cut me off, so I would say long-time listener, second-time caller. I'll just finish up by saying Jason Mann, if he doesn't make it as a director, I think he'd be a very successful criminal serial killer. He seems very detail-oriented and very OCD, so I think he could be in for that. Before I go, I have a question for either Brandon or Gary from Fremont, either one, Brandon or Gary from Fremont. Which part of America are you most looking forward to Trump making great again?
Mm.
All right, I'll hang up and listen. Take care, everybody.
Oh, man, we gotta get Brandon back to answer that next week. That's good. I think that is Ben's optimal form. Is just like letting him monologue.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, without us like interrupting him. He had a point there.
Well, I would have known that if I hadn't talked over him nonstop for the entire time I've known him.
That's true. That's a great point.
We could have figured this out earlier.
Yeah, we should have. Anyway, thanks a lot, listeners. Check us out. 415-275-0030 is the Google Voice number. Sometimes I don't get to those right away. Forget to listen to them, even when it's Ben when I tell him to call in, because I'm bad at stuff. Frogcast@gmail.com. We always like your questions and comments. Everybody seems to have an interesting story. Like, you'd think we'd get a lot of bad emails. We really don't. We get mostly good emails. It's surprising.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy like 9 out of 10 of the emails we get.
Yeah, and I hate our fans. I mean, it's all for the fans.
It's all for the fans.
It's all for the fans. I feel like this was a good one. Yeah. I feel like when you don't jerk off for a while, mm-hmm. and then you have like a really big load.
Yeah, it shoots and it hits all the way into the back of the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's us.
Mm-hmm. Well, enjoy it, you guys. Good night, and eat the beans.